Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, this is Paco Polita and welcome to this La Liga Lowdown bonus episode with Radio Stakhanov. We are back to our stadium sit-down format. One more week, this is a bonus spot which you can enjoy on the usual platforms, and we are going to talk all about Valencia Club de Football. We're talking about Valencia Centenario, the centenary which is upon us, and we're a few meters away from the Mestalla Stadium. In fact, we have the Plaza de la Afición with that well-known statue of Valencia fans called Monumento a la Afición. And here we are in a bright evening with a spectacular weather and with a couple of guests who are hardcore Valencianistas who have plenty of things to say. I'll start with the president of the Peña Chescandinavia, the Chescandinavia fan club, we could say, Hans Christian Lange. Hans, good evening.
Good evening, Paco.
You're from Norway, right?
I am from Norway, yes.
And how did this project come to fruition? You know, joining forces with Valencianistas from other countries, obviously in the Scandinavian zone, to become one and to become a peña for Valencia Club de Fútbol.
I think during the early years of the 2000s, when Valencia was on top, We had Swedish player, Jocke Björklund, and Jon Karev.
That is,
Norway.
By the way, a masklet. People don't be frightened. That is usual. That happens in Valencia. You know, Hans, the first time you came to Valencia, you should have been afraid of that. But now you are used to it totally, right?
I've loved it from the first second, I'll tell you. He'll tell you as well. I'm crazy about petards.
Yeah, petardos. Petardos. So you guys, in the early 2000s, when Valencia was on top, there were players who were from Björklund, a defender, if I remember properly, a center back, and it all sparked from there on, right?
It started out there, and we had this forum on the internet where we started discussing and shared the idea of creating a peña up there in the Nordics. And at that time, there wasn't a lot of international peñas. I think there was one before us, but we were the second. So we started this collaboration between Norway and Sweden.
Yeah.
Back in 2007, 2008, when Valencia also met Elfsborg in the Europa League or UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
At that time, yeah. So that's when we kind of started the official journey of the supporter club.
We are also with Oscar Seljed, who is Swedish, by the way. Oscar, good evening.
Yeah. Good evening.
Tell me, both because you are veterans in Fallas, Valencia totally revamps itself when Fallas come around, and you guys have come actually quite a lot in the last few years. Hans, you've been for 10 years straight, more or less.
That is correct, yes.
And what about you?
This is actually my second time here.
Your second time?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about your team. A wild season, right? It began like it's been like a roller coaster at the beginning of the season with not that much happiness to give around. But I believe right now we're in a pretty good place. If we talk about Valencia, right, Oscar? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, when I played football back in the days, I've been a defender throughout my life.
Yeah.
And I've always enjoyed a good defense. And I think we had a solid defense throughout the entire season and been playing really well through that. But, I mean, our biggest struggle has been the offensive side. We haven't scored those goals that we needed. And I think we lacked some of that fury that we had last year. The passion in the field. It was sort of felt that we lacked that in the beginning of the season. But I think we're picking that up now and actually getting on that momentum right now. So it feels better.
The team improved. improving. I believe that that's the general opinion amongst the fans. Hans, what about you?
Yeah, I think I both expected a really hard season. I said so before the season, even, that this was not going to be like this perfect journey that a lot of people were talking about after the signing of Batshuayi and so on. But I think we've been able to turn it around. It's really impressive. I kind of lost faith in Marcelino at one point.
Really?
But then it just lasted 1 week, and then you got it back.
So it was only 1 week of faithless hands, okay?
Yes, correct. But I'm impressed in the way that the team has turned it around, and that we're still competing in three competitions. Mm-hmm. It's the only Spanish team aside from Barcelona in that position to compete in three competitions. I think it's all there for the taking. So if we can just grab those points, make those draws some wins, and get that fourth place, it will be an amazing season for Valencia.
You slyly talked about Batshuayi. I actually don't remember Batshuayi as a Valencia player. Only 2 months have passed, but there are some players that haven't been up to par this season. Batshuayi comes to mind immediately. I don't know if you guys had much more faith in him that, for example, Hans had in Marcelino for that single week, but has he been the biggest disappointment this year?
Yeah, in one way. I mean, you went with really big hopes of him because of the result he did, like the goals he scored in back in Dortmund when he was like, he was a fantastic player. So I had really high hopes. It was probably my favorite signing actually of the year. So that is definitely the biggest disappointment. I think he actually played decent from time to time, and everybody was a bit harsh on him, but at the end I think it was the right team for the team actually to get rid of him as well. So
could you think about another player who hasn't delivered on its promise, Hans?
I think there's a lot of players that in the beginning of the season performed below the level we were hoping. Rodrigo comes to mind, but he's really turned it around now. But in the beginning of the season, you kind of hoped that he would be the guy who kind of pulled this Valencia towards that fourth, third place, even challenging Atletico for the third place. But he wasn't able to deliver in the beginning. And I think for me, that is part of the disappointment, because there was a lot of talk about him leaving as well in the summer, and we were all very pleased that he stayed. He's really important for the team, but even though you can see he wanted to, he was not able to deliver that to the team. So aside from Batshuayi, which I also had great hopes for, I think for me that was, at least in the beginning of the season, the biggest disappointment.
What about the opposite? There are players, obviously some of them, who have been very good through and through since day one, match day one, till the point we are currently at. Gaia comes to mind. I don't know if he might be the MVP this season, but who do you think that has been the most consistent Valencianista this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's either José Gaia or Parejo. I mean, both of them have been, I mean, especially the spring for Parejo has been amazing. I don't think I've ever seen him like this good before. But Gaia as well. So I think it's a combination, like either Parejo or Gaia is the best player.
Parejo, Gaia, someone else, Hans?
Garay for me.
Garay for
you? Definitely.
Yeah.
You see, when he's not there, the defense is not the same. And the defense this season has been amazing compared to, if you look two seasons back, what the defense was, it was just a mess. Now, if you have Garay there, you're fine. No matter who you put next to him, it's fine. But when he's not there, like last match, we'll let in 2 goals instantly.
Why has the team turned it around? What has come together in the last 2 or 3 months?
I mean, I think it's a combination of skill and luck, of course. When you don't get those results that you need, and at the end, like, you lose some games, you start getting the momentum of, like, not feeling as a winning team. I think that we've reached a conversion now that we're sort of getting closer to being a winning team, so to say. And I mean, you can see it in the last game when we like, Ferran Torres scored in the last minutes. one man sent off as well. I mean, those wins is usually the sign of being a winning team, so to say. So you have the confidence to actually go forward when it's needed. So I think it's a lot about confidence. I think that is one of the main contributors to why things have changed. Because tactically, things hasn't changed that much. We're still very stable at the back, but we're starting to score some great goals. I mean, Rodrigo's the shape of Rodrigo's in as well. Right now, it's contributing a lot to it. So I think it's a combination of that. Like Rodrigo scoring those goals and then getting the confidence that we need to actually move on.
Marcelino stated again and again that the biggest problem was not being able to score and not being accurate in front. But I don't think that's the only reason, right?
Now, for me, it was also a bit about attitude and how you approach the season. It seemed like a lot of the players just took it kind of for granted and also didn't follow the rules that Marcelino put in place. And I think when you were put in a situation where you had to choose, are you supporting Marcelino or are you still continuing to kind of disobey the weight rules, the regime that is put in place, then they chose to stay with the manager. I think people like Batshuayi was exempted somehow from the rules.
Yeah.
And then it kind of creates some friction internally in the club. When you get rid of that, it seems like, for me, it's very visible in Gameiro. In the beginning of season, if you look at the body language between Gameiro and Rodrigo,
they didn't understand each other.
At all. At all. They didn't understand each other. If you see now, they're like best buddies on the field. That has changed a lot. That's, for me, the kind of biggest change from the beginning to now.
Mm-hmm. The biggest night of the whole season, I believe, was the day against Getafe. Copa del Rey has been the biggest dream for Valencia fans in the last few months, because obviously you have finally reached a final after 11 seasons. That's a lot of time. That's a whole decade and a year plus. Tell me, guys, about Copa del Rey. How suddenly this little, in some way, competition became Valencia's biggest priority. How did players and the manager and the staff made this competition attractive for the fans? And especially, how did you guys live that Getafe rousing night at home? I guess you were at home, wherever you were living at that point. How did you live that Getafe screamer of an ending?
Wow. I mean, firstly, with what the club is bringing up, I think that is coming back to that. I mean, Valencia's always been a big club. So from that point on, as fans of Valencia, we have the expectancies of the club as well to be a winning club. And actually gaining some of the momentum, I think that has really affected the season as like in a total as well.
It was a turning point.
It was a big turning point for the club. So that was like amazing to see. For me personally, we didn't even have broadcasting rights in Sweden.
Really?
So I find some shitty stream that I could watch that was barely showing the game. But it was amazing. And this Sunday, so it's going to be really interesting to see like what's going to happen around the game.
It's lots of unfinished business.
It's a lot of unfinished business. But for me, I mean, the beholder of that game was Kang In-Lee. That was an amazing performance, and it was an eye-opener, like how good this kid is. He's amazing.
We are going to talk quite a lot later in part two of this special podcast about Kang In-Lee. Hans, as the president of Peña Scandinavia, did you keep your shit together when Valencia moved on to semifinals, or you became ecstatic, out of your mind? Because it was a wild ride from start to finish, a 93rd minute win, and also the way the people celebrated, the fans. I think that people needed that kind of happiness for once, because the agony had been so long.
I was all alone in my garden in Norway screaming like a crazy person.
So your neighbors should be in this podcast, and we should ask them about yourself.
I've moved.
You'll be out of the city already.
But for me, it's special as well, because I was there in 2008. I lived in Spain at that season. I lived in Barcelona, so you know, you'd constantly get nagged about how bad is Valencia doing at the moment. And then you get this final, you go there, and you experience this win at the end of the worst season ever. I just remember Morientes' goal, the 3-1 goal in
the
that
header,
final.
Straight in.
I just turned around, I hugged some big, hairy, sweaty Spanish guy and just jumped up and down. Yeah, it was amazing. So this semifinal was kind of reliving a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Just getting the taste, maybe in Sevilla something similar is going to happen.
Later, after the Getafe win, came around Betis. Betis was also beaten to submission and the fans celebrated moving into a final 11 years later, which is, by the way, the perfect spot to... Wrapping it up in this part one of this chat, lots of hot topics coming up. For example, young talent, Kangin Lee, you talked about him earlier. The Centenario, we had to talk about Valencia's Centenary. We can also talk about what is going to happen here on March 23rd. Norway is going to play against Spain in the stadium, which is only 20 meters away from us. And there's also the Legends game, Partido de las Leyendas. That is going to be awesome. But that would be after the break.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So here we are once again in La Liga Lowdown's special podcast talking about Valencia, all things Valencia Club de Fútbol in their centenary year. And we have left the conversation talking about Kangin Lee, who has been arguably one of the biggest breakouts, not only this season in Valencia, but I would say in the whole La Liga. Mm-hmm. What do you see, Oscar, in Kangin Lee as the difference-making trait or characteristic? Because he had so many qualities, but tell me about one of them.
You got to give it to him for the creativity. I think like the way that he sees the passes, I think it displayed it fantastic against Getafe when he cut through those passes into both of the goals, actually. I mean, he's mostly getting credit for last goal, but I mean, the second goal as well was part of his doing as well. So his vision of the game is definitely like his biggest attribute, I'd say.
Passes, vision, he has quality when dribbling. He also tries, though he hasn't had the chance, because that is the second part of this argument. What is going on with Kangin Lee's hands? He hasn't been seen lately. I don't really know the reason. Okay, I've made my questioning and asked people around, but it's a bit weird. Right, seeing Kangin Lee so much and suddenly no seeing him at all.
I think it's connected with Geddes coming back. You have Sobrino in also playing in the wide positions. You have Cheryshev performing really well, even though I'm not a huge fan of him.
Oh, really?
But he's done really well. He like creates assists and goals. So it's very difficult for a young player to come in to such a side with all these other players performing and giving end result, particularly. If it was up to me, he would play a lot more. Because I think he has something special. He has that thing you saw with Silva, with Mata.
Yeah.
Something that they add some flavor to the game. And I would wish that Marcelino was a little bit more open to letting him perform as he can. Let him play. Let him learn the trade.
For me, as well, I see one of the challenges is that we're playing a pretty straightforward 4-4-2. But Kanyin Lee, for me, is a drop striker. I mean, I'd love to see him in a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him as that like center of the midfielders. I think he would perform magic from there. But Marcelino is really stuck to the system. And I mean, the system is paying off. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to criticize him about that. But I'd love to see him in that role.
Yeah, we touched up on that earlier. And that's the silver lining in the way Marcelino manages the young talent, Ferran Torres. He's not having that many chances to shine. But for example, against Girona, you talked, Oscar, about him earlier. He was amazing in the way he ran that play and also the way he finished.
Yeah.
Because he's a very talented kid when scoring. Mm-hmm. And we have seen that. We saw that in a goal in Copa del Rey, I believe, where he dribbled and then finished with the left, I believe. And against Girona, he was like the iconic 93rd minute win, which is, by the way, Valencia's trademark this season. In the past, Valencia used to lose in that minute.
Exactly.
But now Valencia wins games. Ferran could be an example of what Marcelino wants to do with Kanji Lee. Mm. Although, in my opinion, I don't know about you, I still believe very few minutes are given to Ferran. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
No, definitely. I mean, I'd love to see him more. I think, for once, we have a pretty broad squad. I think there's been a challenge for Valencia for quite some time now that we had a pretty narrow squad. We have a really good first team lineup, but as soon as people get injured, like the backup isn't there anymore. But right now, we have a really good first team squad, and we have some like really good substitutes to put on as well. So the discussion is, how do you prioritize that? And I'd love to see both Kangin Lee and Ferran play more. I mean, coming out of the academy, they are really crucial to the future of the club as well.
Talking about future and talking about present, being here right next to Mestalla Stadium, being here in the place where it actually is pretty crazy to think when the team gets to the stadium and you see sometimes those videos of fans gathering outside the stadium waiting for the bus to come here with the flares, with the chants, with the clapping. It doesn't even seem like the same square. We are right now here watching Mestalla in a very relaxed mood, but shit gets crazy here. And I wanted to ask you about that atmosphere that you guys get to live when you finally come to Valencia. I guess that's one of the biggest draws to get to the city and enjoy it live. Do you remember the first time you set foot here and went to a Mestalla game, what you felt? For example, Hans, you're the press, you get the first question.
Yeah, I remember. I went here when I was really little,
yeah,
like 3 years old. I don't remember as much, but in 2001-2002 season, when Valencia ended up winning the league, I was here against Mallorca with the two and all the big players they had at the time. It was a really, really close game. Valencia controlled the game, but they couldn't score. And in the 86th minute, I believe, Mista scored.
Yeah.
And I get goosebumps whenever I talk about that moment. That was the moment when I really fell in love with Valencia.
In definitely. Your case, Oscar, which was that moment?
For me, actually, this is actually only my second time being here. So I went here to see the Atletico Madrid game. I think it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Tough loss. And for me, still, it was like the Mestalla Stadium is something out of the ordinary. Like, is no stadium like Mestalla. So
it's like a big church for you.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. And for me, like I've been a like Valencia fan since I was 10, 11 years old. So that was just like a dream come true to be here. Even though we lost the game, even though everything went down as it did, I was so happy of just experiencing the game and so on. So Getafe next Sunday is going to be my second game, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Because this season, as we talked earlier, is the centenary season. Mm-hmm. 100 years is not a petty landmark. Not those many clubs can talk about that they are centenary. In Valencia's case, for example, what is the thing which, Oscar, you believe that defines this club, this team, maybe this crowd, this fan base? Because there are many different people thinking about how to define a specific team or a specific club. How would you define the Valencia, which is going to be, in the next few days, 100 years old?
That's a big question.
We're here to talk about big issues.
Yes.
Big topics.
The really big issues of the world. No, for me, taking the location of Mestalla as being the heart of the city of Valencia, I think it's really like getting the city together. For me, it's always been about the way we have played the game.
Yeah.
Like the Valencia way of playing. It's always been an attractive way of playing football. And that was, for me, when I started, that was just the thing that got me hooked on Valencia, the way that they play football.
And we can talk about all the icons, not only about players, but maybe the bats, the colors, the black and white, which actually reflects pretty well what is being a Valencianista, blacks and whites.
Yeah.
Being very happy suddenly and then very, very sad and very angry about the team or whatever has gone down. But yeah, in your case, Hans, as the president of Peñache Scandinavia, what does the centenary mean for you?
For me, it's just joy. There's so much history. There's so much fighting along those 100 years. Being from a smaller city than Barcelona, Madrid, that have won so much. But Valencia kind of bites back every 10 years or so. Valencia is there and gets this win. And it's so much more joy in that win,
yeah,
than all. You can give Madrid or Barcelona 10 wins, and I won't celebrate those 10s added together as much as the one here.
Yeah.
You kind of punch from below. You can claw your way up, and you win by this grit, this Bronco y Copero.
Yeah, being the underdog, basically. Yes. Bronco y Copero would be like being the toughest nails, and Copa del Rey, in this case, are related, because Valencia has traditionally been a very good team when playing Copa del Rey. The last few questions, because we're going to end this podcast on a high note. There's a big game coming up here with Spain as the main protagonist against Norway. I guess Hans has quite a lot to say about that game on Saturday the 23rd. What is going on in that game? Who are you rooting for? Because there's Norway, because there's Spain. What is going to be that game for you?
For me, it will be very strange, because I've followed Spain almost as closely as Valencia. Not as close, but I witnessed the European Championship in Ukraine. I was there in the final.
Yeah.
So I'm typically rooting for Spain because Norway is never in any championship. So I will be comfortably seated in the away section for once in Mestalla. That will be weird as well. But that will be quite neutral, I think.
Okay, and 24 hours later, we have Partido de las Leyendas on March 24th, which is going to be pretty special, because I don't know if you guys have an iconic player, which is yours, by the way, Oscar.
For me, it's Pablo Aimar.
Pablo Aimar.
Is definitely I think actually that was the player that got me to root for Valencia.
Got you hooked.
Yeah, you know, when I just saw him play, that was something out of the ordinary, you know, like, so Pablo Aimar, definitely.
Okay, Pablo Aimar, and what about you, Hans?
I have actually two. I have, when I was 3 years old, the whole reason I became a Valencia fan was that my father bought me a Mario Kempes shirt.
Okay.
Like a replica or whatever, but that
Mario Kempes is going to be at that game. He's not going to play because he's quite old. And
The other one is David Villa.
David Villa, okay.
Because I've always kind of identified myself as a striker, even though I play as a goalkeeper, but I wanted to be a striker.
So we have like a goalkeeper who wanted to be a striker, and in Oscar's case, he was always the roughest defender in the room. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up with, obviously, a big question for you guys, because there are going to be a lot of Valencianistas listening to this special podcast, and want to know little things about Fallas and Valencia itself. For example, in your case, the super president of Peñas Escandinavia, you already know this city from top to bottom. How would you attract foreigners here and tell them to come to watch a game live to Valencia? Pitch Valencia to them in 30 seconds.
So I would pitch Valencia and Fallas because it's an amazing experience. You have the fireworks, the smell of powder in the air, the ground
shaking.
We have
listened actually to the fireworks
exactly.
Live in this podcast. Okay.
And then there's always a match in Valencia at that time, so you can combine the two. You get the beach, you get the paella, which is Valencian, by the way.
Oh, right.
Important. And the people are amazing. You have to come to Valencia.
That's why he's the president. He's
definitely
the best spokesperson here for, and the biggest defender of Valencia as a city and also Valencia as a country.
I yell at people for saying weird stuff is in paella.
No. Paella, only paella valenciana. You already know that. Okay, so that's it for today. I want people to know that they can find you actually in social media. In your case, Oscar, do you have a Twitter handle?
I do, but I'm not that active, actually. But it's Ocel Head.
Okay. What about you, Hans?
Yeah, mine is MULU83.
MULU83. You can find him and the whole Czechoscandinavia, by the way, which has its own Twitter handle, which is at Czechoscandinavia, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have already everything wrapped up. And obviously, guys, thanks a lot for being our guests here in this special podcast, talking all about Valencia, all about the season, which we expect to end properly on May 25th with a big win for Valencia against Barcelona. Thanks,
we'll be
guys.
There.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
In fact, Hans and Oscar, who have been here with us. And obviously, you have to thank everyone who has been listening to this special podcast for La Liga Lowdown. Remember that you can follow us at La Liga Lowdown, that you can give a 5-star rating to this show, especially we like nice reviews. And we will see you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.